When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Snowbound in Boulder, Colorado. I'm George Thomas. Our guest tonight, Andrew Weibrecht, two-time Olympic medalist, just took his first World Cup podium this past weekend at the Birds of Prey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. It's great to be on the show.
Well, really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. I know this is an extremely busy time of year for you. What is your travel schedule like right now, and what's coming up?
We finished up at Beaver Creek on Sunday and then just made it home for a couple of days, actually. So just spent a little time with my wife, a little time to decompress after two pretty long weeks with Lake Louise, kind of going straight into Beaver Creek. And then on Friday, we're headed back over to Europe for the first time this year. So Valgardena is our next stop.
Now, what's it like for you as a family person? You know, your sport goes on during some of the biggest holidays of the year. What's that like to be really working through that time?
It's tough. It definitely is busy through, you know, Christmas time and a lot of my wife's a teacher, so a lot of her breaks I'm not around for, which is always kind of a bummer, but we've been together for about 10 years, so she kind of gets the deal. And since we've been married, we've never spent a Christmas together, so it's kind of nothing new at this point. But it's tricky, but you know, because I'm on the road so much, I make a point of trying to travel home as often as I can, even if it's just for a couple of days. Yeah, because I think that's important for not only my relationships, but also just to kind of keep my sanity and get a little bit of restore time, you know.
Now, definitely want to talk with you some about Birds of Prey, but what was it that got you interested in ski racing more than, typically more typical American sports?
I'm from Lake Placid, New York, and that's, it's an area that has a huge heritage of skiing. And, you know, essentially that's the reason that my dad moved up to this area, is he was actually working for MCI in New York City. And he was coming up to ski teach at Whitefish on the weekends, kind of as just his hobby. He loved teaching skiing, and so that's a big part of my family's what we do together is we go skiing, and so as kids we were pretty much at the mountain all the time, just because that's what my parents wanted to be doing. And when I was 5, my brother started skiing in the race program, so obviously I was going to be remiss to be left out of that whole experience. So, I fought pretty hard, and I was actually the youngest kid to that point to be part of the ski club. And, I loved being out there. I loved the social aspect of it, as a kid. And, that's where all my buddies hung out was on the mountain. And, then as I kind of got older and grew into it, I realized that I was pretty good at it. And so I started to pursue it a little bit more. And, quite a few years later, here I am.
Now, What is that point? Where do you start to realize that, you know, I really might be good at this? And what do you do to pursue it more?
I mean, you know, I that's kind of a funny question because, you know, as you're growing up in, I'm sure, any sport, and you think every single milestone is the end-all, be-all of what you're doing. So, you know, I remember I won state championships, and I was like, well, this is what I'm doing, you know, with the rest of my life. And then I won the Junior Olympics, and, you know, which is kind of just the, for younger kids, the Eastern competition. I mean, it's like the Eastern championships. And, so I just kept kind of progressing that way where I would move up these little, you know, level milestones and kind of thought I was at the pinnacle of the sport until I found out that there's actually something bigger. You know, I mean, I think a lot of kids do that, and a lot of kids have success at a young age, but I kind of just, for whatever reason, and, you know, I don't think anybody can, you know, with any sport really say why one person progresses further than another, but I just kind of kept moving up the levels as I got older and older, and, you know, until I, you know, kind of got to this point.
I really like your answer because, you know, I think about your progression. You made the U.S. ski team, and I would think that would feel like a huge goal. You got an Olympic medal. You got another Olympic medal. You just took podium at a World Cup race. Where are you in that progression now?
I mean, at this point, I kind of feel like right now I'm racing on sort of borrowed time. You know, a lot of my career has gone a lot longer than a lot of guys and, you know, obviously shorter than some in terms of, you know, I'll be 30 in February. So I just, you know, I've done a lot with my career and the Olympic medals were, you know, a huge, huge part of, you know, what I'm really able to reflect upon and look back at. But, you know, I say that I'm on borrowed time because I really believe, you know, I could walk away from the sport tomorrow and you know, feel good about the career that I had. And because of that, you know, now I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of doing it for the love of it and doing it for the fun of it. And, you know, obviously a big goal of mine was to finally hit a World Cup podium, which I did this last weekend and you know, the other big one is a World Cup win, but you know, I kind of lost track of the progression at this point. I'm just really enjoying skiing and doing it just for the fun of it, but you know, I don't know where my next step is going to be or what the next type of steps are.
We just killed my next question because I was going to ask, is this still fun for you? So let's move on.
Sorry.
From there. I mean, when you have the opportunity, do you get out and go free skiing just because you love to ski?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I love to ski. And as a kid, you know, we grew up here and, you know, ski racing was a thing, but it wasn't a huge thing. And so I grew up free skiing and I still love to go free ski and, you know, on the flip side, I love to ski gates. I mean, I love to ski race. It's super, super fun for me. And it's a new challenge every single day. So, you know, I feel really lucky to still be able to do that and go out and train at a high level. Cause it's just full of new challenges. But, yeah, I mean, you know, kind of, at the base of it all, I just really, really like skiing.
Which alpine discipline do you find the most fun?
You know, I grew up as a slalom and GS skier. That's sort of where my roots are. Slalom, I don't find that fun anymore. So I will disqualify that one. But, you know, I love GS, Super G, and downhill. And I couldn't really say which one I like the most because they're such different events kind of in their nuances that I really do enjoy skiing all of them. It just kind of depends on what I'm going for. But, I would say at this point, the dearest to my heart is probably Super G. It just is such an interesting event in the sense that you only get one run, but you're still doing the speeds of downhill. And, it's pretty great. If I had to single one out, I would say that one probably.
Well, I would love for you to go through your latest Super G run at Beaver Creek. Could you kind of take us through what you were experiencing when you were in the start gate and as you went through the course?
I think my Super G run from Beaver Creek kind of starts a little bit from the downhill run the day before. I kind of figured out sort of my approach and my game plan in the downhill, and I skied a great run. And by approach and game plan, I mean, I figured out how to get myself really relaxed and really kind of centered and present in the moment of actual, ski racing. So that was really cool. And that gave me a lot of confidence with my plan going into the Super G. The Super G, it was kind of an interesting day. They lowered the start because the weather was pretty tough. And I remember being at the start and kind of it was starting to snow a little bit more. The first guys went down and it was pretty clear out. And as I was going, it was starting to snow and weather was starting to come in at that point. And but I was just in a good place. I was super relaxed. I was excited to ski. Sometimes racing with the pressure and all that stuff, I get a little bit just. It gets a little bit tough because it takes a little bit of the fun out of it sometimes. But, on Saturday, I was really excited to ski. I felt good about it. And I went down the top of the course and, it's just perfect snow, a nice set, nothing too stressful. And I remember kind of going through that middle section, I almost started laughing to myself just because I was having fun. It was really a cool experience. I did have one kind of little mistake where I got caught in some soft snow kind of around the tree island in the middle. But other than that, I skied well on top, had a little mistake, made it across the flats pretty well, and then skied well and relaxed and calm all the way through the bottom. And I remember skiing down and getting through the finish and just being happy with my run. I skied well and I skied the way that I wanted to ski, which is a huge deal. Sometimes that doesn't really happen. You're either forced to ski some way that you don't really want to or that you don't like to, or you just don't ski well, and that's not the way you want to ski either. So, I was very, very happy with my skiing, and I came through the finish and was in second. So, that's always cool. Marcel's not a huge speed skier, but he's had quite a bit, some success in Super G in the past, and there's no shame in getting beat by him. So. It was cool. It was fun. It was just kind of a neat day to go out and ski race in some respects.
Is there a sport that gives you such instant feedback? I mean, your skis do exactly what you tell them, and you actually can fix it if you tell them to do something that doesn't quite work.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the really great thing about the sport, and it's also kind of one of those things that's so frustrating about the sport. There are times where you get on course and you kick out of the gate and everything, just you make the first turn and it just feels exactly how you think it's going to feel. And you get that feedback, and it's a lot of fun because it gives you the confidence to ski the way that you want to ski. Sometimes you get on the course and you make the first turn and you sit there and you're like, oh man, like this is not what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, and then you still proceed to go 80 miles an hour. So it gets a little bit dicey, you know?
Now, how many pairs of skis do you travel with?
Way too many. I mean, luckily I have a lot of support from Head and they, you know, they provide me with, you know, with a serviceman. So he kind of takes care of that end of it. And you know, and it's cool cause it's a really cool, kind of give and take relationship that, you know, the athlete has with their serviceman where you're communicating and, you know, you're both trying to figure out how to do your job the best way that you can. And each of you, by doing your job well, you benefit the other. So it's a cool deal, but he probably brought 50 to, you know, 70 pairs of skis over to the U.S. for me.
For you.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a lot, but at the same time, you know, you got to understand that certain pairs of skis are kind of styled for certain types of snow or certain temperatures of snow or, you know, it's a really specific thing. And, you know, you have a pair of skis that'll run great and be fast in, you know, warm snow, but that same pair of skis won't be fast in cold snow or any of the, you know, variations kind of in the middle. So, you know, we do a lot of work, during the race weeks to, most of the companies bring over their own test team and they bring all the skis out and they glide test them, which is kind of, they just run them in a straight line just to see which ones are working best in that type of snow. And, I mean, it really is a science behind what makes a pair of skis work or, you know, and when a pair of skis works, that has a lot to do with, you know, your success for the weekend. So there's a lot invested in making sure that, you know, we have the right equipment for the right day. And it's such a dynamic thing because it's, you know, obviously it's an outdoor sport. So, you know, we're constantly kind of looking for what's going to work the best on each given day. So it's a little bit of a hassle. It's a lot of a hassle, but it, you know, it's kind of, the sport's so competitive that that's pretty much, you know, what it takes to you know, get where we want to be.
Now, you would have your choice of pretty much working with any manufacturer. What was it about Head Skis that made you decide to go with them?
You know, I was with Rossignol for a many number of years, about 20 years. And after the 2013 season, I really needed a change. I needed something, you know, I came off a tough season and I needed something to kind of give me a shot in the arm and, you know, get my career kind of rolling again. And, at the time I really, you know, I saw Head as really the best option. You know, I mean, they put out an awesome product. They do a really, and they have a really strong commitment to ski racing, and that's, you know, some companies are 50-50 about it. You know, Head's a race team, and those guys are super focused on the race side. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like Ferrari with Formula One, where they sell skis to fund their race team, and that's just a cool thing about it is they're really committed to being the best and providing the best equipment. And so I made the switch in 2013, and really haven't looked back since then. It's been a great relationship that I've had with them. They've offered me incredible service, access to, you know, really what are probably some of the best skis in the world. And that's the stuff that makes huge differences. And I got to work alongside Ted Ligety and Bodie Miller for a couple of years, which was great, and kind of pick their brains about what the right equipment was and stuff like that. So I guess I'm partial, but I feel, really lucky to be on the head race team, and I have just enjoyed working with them tremendously.
Now, earlier in our discussion, you said you feel like you're kind of on borrowed time, and so you're really just doing this because it's fun. Why was it, after you came off a tough season, was it hard for you to continue, or did you think about stopping?
I have thought about stopping. I did think about stopping. I had a series of injuries, kind of starting in 2010 after the Olympics. I won my bronze medal in Vancouver, and then I went to Norway and just kind of, I don't know what happened, but I kind of just, everything sort of imploded in my life. I lost my bag, and then I went and trained Super G that day, and the last run I landed on my back off a jump, and so it was pretty banged up. And then we had the race in Norway, and I ended up just, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to prove something, I guess, and I landed in a fence and dislocated my shoulder and tore a bunch of ligaments in my ankle. So that kind of started, I really went from, the highest of highs in kind of my young career to absolute lowest of lows, that about 2 weeks later. And, that kind of started this really tough cycle where I had to get shoulder surgery. I was booted, to kind of tighten up my ligaments that I tore in my ankle. And then, I came back from that, and after a couple months of skiing, I blew out my other shoulder training slalom over Christmas, like that 2010 fall winter. So I had another shoulder surgery, and then I in 2000 beginning of 2011, and then I came back from that, and I went to Mammoth train, and I was my third day out there, my third day back skiing in May, five months post surgery, I hit a patch of bad snow and blew out my other ankle. So, that was something that I dealt with, and I was at that point said, no more surgeries. And so I skied through that whole year with a bum ankle, but it created all these issues with, I was having all these back problems and stuff like that. So, it was really tough. And so I got that ankle repaired the fall, the 2012 spring, and then had to do a follow-up surgery on that in 2013. So, sorry, I don't mean to get long-winded about it, but, so it got to a point where going into the 2013-2014 season, I was kind of looking at it and I said, okay, this is sort of a do or die situation. I'm either going to do this or I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to put all my eggs in a basket and just kind of call it good. So that's when I made the switch to head. I thought that was a good move. And then just kind of doubled down on my training and just made sure everything was where I wanted it. And I started the season, I struggled, and it wasn't kind of that work in, results out equation that I was hoping for. And I honestly, I qualified for the team in Sochi, and going into the race at Sochi, I said, this is probably my last ski race I'm going to do. I was pretty bent on that. And I said, and because of that, I'm going to ski this race exactly the way that I want to ski it. I'm going to listen to other people's advice, but I'm going to do it, my way. And, I ended up getting second in that race, and it's kind of changed my whole perspective. And that's why a little bit, when I talk about borrowed time, that's a little bit where that comes from, because, my career and my mind was over at one point, and I came through with a result, and all of a sudden, I kind of found a way to revitalize it and really start enjoying it again. So, sorry, that was a long response,
but it was a great answer. And I love that you said earlier you were in the course of Beaver Creek just smiling as you were going down. I mean, what a change.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that I've realized, is that, I have to do this for me, and I have to do this if it makes sense for me and I'm really enjoying it. Granted, there's going to be bad days and there's going to be things that I don't want to do. And, training in the summer gets to be a grind, things like that. But as long as I can come out of a majority of the days and say, man, that was cool, that was fun. That's what it's all about for me right now. It's not a job. It's an opportunity to do something, that's kind of a cool place to be, and I really enjoy that aspect of it.
Well, Andrew, can you tell us again what exactly is coming up? What are your next couple of races?
Our next race is, so we have this weekend off coming up, and then we race at Valcardena. We have a Super G downhill there, and then we'll stay over in Europe over Christmas, and then we have a race at Santa Caterina in Italy a couple days after Christmas downhill there, and then we get a little bit of break for New Year's.
Andrew, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us this evening.
It was great talking to you. It's great to be on the show.
Thanks very much. You've been listening to Snowbound, U.S. Alpine Ski Team's Andrew Weibrecht. Look forward to following Andrew throughout the upcoming season. In Boulder, Colorado, I'm George Thomas.